Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 542 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you doing, fellas?
Fucking fantastic.
Sensational. Bit better than you.
Old fucking silent Bob sitting over there in the corner, not saying a word. Fucking sour.
He is. I was the first person to speak in the...
I've probably said more words on the show this week than you fucking have, pal. Where do you get off?
Well, normally,
I know your fucking team lost their undefeated streak this weekend.
When I join the call and I see your face and I have to wait a good 3 minutes for you to utter a word, clearly you're in a
mood.
It
was like fucking 30 seconds. But his time works slow.
Just warning everyone, he's in a mood.
And as I said to you, That's my secret. I'm always in a fucking mood.
Just who I am as a person.
Think back to yourself over like the fucking decade plus, closer to a decade and a half.
Yeah.
And
if there was a footballer, if there was a footballer that ever existed that was as consistent at rugby league greatness as you are at being the cuntish human being you are, greatest of all time.
I actually take that as a compliment.
You should.
And I thank you for your kind words.
It's as nice as it's going to get. It's going
to
spiral.
It's probably the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
It's going
to
spiral down from here.
It's certainly the nicest thing you've ever said to me in earshot of fucking anybody else.
I did whisper some nice stuff in the 2011 grand final.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
I did.
You almost had a few tears. It was a beautiful thing.
Oh, it was great. It's just like to see, like to see good people happy, and sometimes I like to see you happy too.
Glenn Blakely, the fucking Glenn Stewart, docking.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
No one knew who was who.
Nope. But we do have that photo. Was floating around somewhere though too, from back at that members thing we went to that time.
Twins.
You would fucking gift.
Fucking hell, Glenn Stewart. How long's it been since anyone's thought about Glenn Stewart?
Poor. Probably good Nate, fucking 3-4 hours for me.
I was going to say 1 hour for you, but whatever.
Jay's
actually looking more like Glenn Stewart these days than me.
I was going to say, maybe I've come out here. Nate's just surrounding himself with a fucking Glenn Stewart lookalike competition.
Fuck, we're onto him. We've really stumbled across this.
It's his own personal spank bank.
He's like, Jay's got this, like, he's got the Glenn Stewart, like if he goes like that, you go, yeah, Glenn Stewart. And then if he goes like that, you go, oh, fuck, he's like Josh Mansell or something. He's got that thick fucking Lebanese looking beard.
Oh,
that's a
God.
Beard you can fuck. That's a beard you can fucking take on a pilgrimage to Mecca. If I haven't seen it,
I'm hedging. I don't know which side's going to win. So,
did you see Mansour on that podcast through the week? Did his comments?
I didn't see him, but I read about it. About his exit from Souths. I saw him.
Also just like the way the vibe with him and Dimitriou through that last year and stuff as well, you know.
Yeah. I also heard he was a bit sad that he missed out on the Penrith dynasty.
Well, you know, time waits for nobody.
Well, he also had his fucking opportunities in the previous grand final when he was still at the club. That was the season. They were so far better than any other team that season. And unfortunately, you know, the fact that he turns like a whaling ship in goal.
Well, I don't think he was like... I don't think he could be...
Look, he wasn't the reason, but
I mean, it was like a good four tries to nothing.
He had his opportunities. Gone. that was rough, especially the fucking in memoriam video.
Yeah, like some of it sounds like. Listen, they weren't vibing, you know, together too well, and you know, perhaps some of it could have been a little bit of both ways. But like he probably, you know, it seemed like he had the shits with stuff that went, and you know, and if the player, if he's not going to be able to, you know, sort of keep a lid on his emotions and accept some of the decisions that were made, you know, regarding selection and stuff, then that might have, you know, poisoned some, like, you know, the next thing that happened and that kind of thing. But the fact that he finds out about the fact he's not getting re-signed because they're like, all right, listen, we've got to play a little video we put together, you know, just to say thank you to the fellas that aren't going to be here next year. And then he's and Mansour's in the video, and he's like, "That's how he found out he wasn't getting signed again." so you know, look, you know, that could probably have been handled a little bit better. Hey, speaking of podcast stuff today, I think it's been taken down now, but the on SEN there's a podcast. I think it's called like the Captain's Run or something, and it's Den and Kemp and Captain Cuntox, Cameron Smith, and they sort of. It goes for probably like an hour and a half or whatever, and they talk about they run through like, you know, the previews for the games coming up and stuff, and just talk about, you know, it's like this, except
like a,
you know,
poor like, man's this weekend league.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, someone was telling me in a DM, they're like, they fucked up, and like after they've said okay, well, you know, they've cut it, and it'd be like us at the end, like, you know, so like when we do the 3-2-1 thing, imagine they did that at the end, and then it's just like silent for a bit. And then they just start talking shit.
Oh, no.
And so I've gone to iTunes and had a look, and I'm like, "What? Tell me when does this start?" And they're like, 1 hour 55 mark. And like the iTunes one only goes up to like about 1 hour 35, so it's not that.
Yeah, fuck.
And so I go to Spotify, and it's 2 hours long on Spotify, 2 hours and 1 minute long. So I'm like, fucking boom. So I actually did screen capture it. And then when I came back down here before we did the show, when I had Spotify open again, I went to close it before we started doing this, and there's a thing, a pop-up thing that said, you know, this episode's not longer. So they actually had deleted it down on Spotify as well. But they're just sort of fucking around a bit. And then one of them's like, oh, so fucking how about Cam Munster, eh? And because, yeah, Cam Munster's kind of like the media word is he's like week to week. You know, he could be back this week, could be back next week. And Cameron Smith, and they're like, yeah, he's fucked. And like Cameron Smith's like, he can't run. He like hasn't even been able to run yet. Like last I saw, and like so they're saying like some groin injury. They're saying, and it could be like he could be out for fucking ages, but they're talking about him be sort of being back like next week or, you know, whatever, or it's week to week proposition. But yeah, and Cam Smith's like he's fucked. He's fucked. Like he hasn't even been able to run at training or anything yet. Like, and so it's like, and so he spilled this, which is I guess presumably. Not public knowledge.
The greatest gambling ad campaign of all time.
Now there's shift like the
heavy bets against Melbourne. And then sports bet. Yeah, come but out the thing with, is, know, don't, they've been don't doing, trust they've been doing great. On a podcast.
They've been doing great without him. And I mean, like, this week's a different story because, like, Jerome Hughes is out.
Yeah.
But, like, so that's the first time they, you know, and that's what, you know, Kemp was saying as well. Like, listen, you know, it's round three. It's a great round to have both halves out and not fucking.
Yeah, that's it.
At the other end of the season. But, I mean, like, they've been actually operating pretty well without the loose handbrake that is Cam Munster. They did have some shit talk about that as well, though. They're saying, like, how is it that fucking Jerome Luai fucking shoves the ref out of the way?
Yeah.
And he apologises, gets nothing.
Yeah.
And Jerome Hughes was, like, literally trying to save a try, and like actually wasn't trying to push the ref or anything like that. He was just trying to get, and he gets suspended for it. So it's fucked, you know. And then you had that situation with the Bulldogs, like the same, like the start of the same round where the guy ran into the referee and got knocked over, and so they said, you know, no try because the guy took it, you know, fuck.
It's the same old fucking story. That's it. People would care so much fucking less about the actual decisions as long as they were consistent.
100%.
And yeah, it's the fucking secret sauce that I don't know why the NRL can't get.
Which is something, which is something, you know, to an extent, what is happening with the obstruction stuff now. Now, in the heat of the moment, you go, yeah, but the fucking guy wouldn't have stopped him anyway. But you go, no, but then you take a step back and you go, well,
They call look, it.
It's black. It's black same. And white.
Yep, that's it.
They made it black and white. So yeah, of course. Because I saw that a lot for that that Bulldogs one where the guy hit the ref as well.
Yeah.
Going, like as if he would have fucking like it was Kickow, I think was the guy you know with the ball.
Yeah.
And it was some I can't remember who hit the referee, but it was a backline player.
Yep.
They're like, of course, fucking coming across on your own goal
never,
line
never.
And Kickow's 5 meters out. Never. Of course you're not going to fucking stop. Like no. Of course you're not. But yeah. That's it. It's just the rule is the rule, and that's just the way it is. And
that's it.
As it turned out. It wouldn't have made much of a difference for the fucking doggies anyway because they're still fucking shit.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Very nice. I tell you, big week, fellas. We're preparing for 2 grand finals here.
Yes.
We have both the boys' basketball teams are through to the grand final on Sunday.
Yeah. Are they not together anymore?
No.
Okay.
No, they're across 2 different age groups.
Are you coaching both teams?
Well, that's why they're both in the grand final.
No, despite that, despite the handbrake that is you, the kid's talent shines through.
Yes, it's...
you are the fucking Ty Lue of North Brisbane basketball.
which anyone that knows the NBA knows that Ty Lue is a fucking phenomenal coach. So thank you very much. You should have called me the Doc Rivers or something if you wanted to.
I was going
to
say, really I would have said the Doc Rivers, and the only difference is he doesn't have a fucking, he doesn't have like a Ben in his fucking side to like.
It's all their fault. fucking hell. I'm taking a leaf out of Flano's books. Peptides in the fucking 90-year-olds.
Just fucking throwing Trent in their fucking juice boxes.
No, do you remember that kid?
Tropical Trend flavor? This is different, Dad.
Little Hercules.
He was a kid in the late
90s, and he was fucking yoked. Right?
Yeah, and the parents were trying to get him, like, you know, sort of force him into like a, you know, a career of fame, and you know, movies and stuff. Is this little buff boy?
That's it.
If you watch, I think you should leave. There's a little buff boy's sketch.
anyway, so it turns out that his dad went to jail for exactly that, for dosing his fucking kid, for putting like horse steroids in his protein shakes.
That little fucker was yoked.
Yeah, 100% he was. Oh God! Did you see the?
I wonder how big his chin is now.
Not Nathan Cleary size.
Okay, so it was trend and not fucking growth.
But sports related. You see, Kieran Perkins has piped up about the. You seen the all drug Olympics that are coming through?
Oh yeah, I'm hyped for it. I wish they had that here instead of the real ones.
I know, that'd be.
I want to see the legit strongest, the legit fastest. I don't want to see these fucking nerds.
They could have a tournament where they have to run through the brick walls of the school they want to knock down.
Oh, imagine
everyone. There's your budget.
Throwing javelins out of the roof of the fucking Gabba. And trying to hit the headmaster of the fucking school.
Or imagine you have the javelin and the shot put and the 800 metres around the outside all at the same time. So, but, did you see that, Glenny? That they're starting an Olympics with no drug testing.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
Got me thinking, can you imagine what league would be?
Oh.
If there were... Fucking hell. Would be absolutely phenomenal. I'm all for it.
Look,
rugby league. The national conditioning
staff is like Rodney Howe and fucking...
I'm very curious. Very curious.
National rugby league.
How far the human body can go. Because no one's going to go, you know what, that's enough steroids. Like, if they're allowed to take it, they will take... until it's oozing out their eyeballs and, you know, cardiac arrests all around. But it'd be very
interesting to see what's the world record look like if someone's on...
Man, I reckon... So you Google a dude named
You take
Rich,
Ben Johnson and then Rich. Add, like, another fucking 40 years of technology, you know, to it.
Mate, get a guy, Google him, his name's Rich Piana.
Yep.
He's about, I reckon, the limits... of what the human body can put up with, when it comes to the older roids.
Did he die yet.
Fucking oath he did.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, there's no way he could still be living.
And, like, everything inside him was, like, triple the size that it should be.
Yeah.
It was fucking nasty. So, anyway, back to the normal
or fucking... Or fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Depending on how you see things. I mean, I'm not his fucking longevity advisor. I mean...
His heart was like a V8 and a Holden Barina by the time he was done with it, so...
Yeah.
Lovely.
That dude lived the dream. Not my dream, but...
A dream.
A dream that I'm sure many people have. Anyway. All right. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about games? Or you
Let's go to
you
games. To oh, look, okay. Mate, honestly... Oh, just
quickly. This Luttrell thing where he was swearing in the thing, and so now the NRL's like radio and stuff. You can't do side, you know, interviews as they're coming off the field anymore.
Hmm.
Bit of fucking sookie, really. I mean, Glennie, I know that he one of his favourite fucking things ever. Favourite things ever is after 2005 grand final. Who was it? Was it fucking Heino or Chris Heino. Lawrence? Who was it that was just going fucking this? I mean, that was great. And no one said anything about it.
That was after a grand final, though.
Because he's white.
No. Jesus Christ.
Look, we live in a society that's got a fucking long way to go. And I dare say that a lot of the fault, you know, the mock outrage generated by people who were so fucking offended by Trell dropping a few fucking choice words. I want to say they probably weren't offended by the language.
Mm.
As much as the vehicle who delivered the message.
What game was it?
It was the game that Latrell Mitchell played in.
Yeah,
well, I'm just trying to think.
He plays for the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
He plays in the fullback position. Yeah. That's the man that stands at the back of the field.
Sometimes you could argue that he doesn't play for 80 minutes, but that's beside the point. He does that. That's his job that he's been given, Glennie. So I think if you find that you look at round two, and who the South Sydney Rabbitohs played, which in this case was the Brisbane Broncos.
Now you're taking it too far, Nathan. Why are you
the Broncos
be this way?
Of Brisbane?
So what was that? That was the Thursday night, you know. So what time did that game finish? Like 9:30, 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Are we pretending that at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night there aren't TV shows and movies with that sort of, with swear words in it?
Yeah.
The whole time. You know, if it's the fucking 2 o'clock game on a Sunday, maybe there's the thing to say, well, that's not appropriate, that time of day, kids are watching. You know, and you've now got a generation of 4-year-olds that can say cunt.
Yep.
But yeah, what are we fucking bleeding about here?
Yeah.
It's a working man's game, a blue collar game, and blue collar people really aren't offended by that language. I think it's more about Luttrell than it is about the words. My two cents.
Agreed. Mm. I also agree. And I think that we'll be getting sideline interviews back before too long.
Yes.
Because remember when the players were denying the media when they were going through like the, you know, the bargaining with the Players Association, like they want that shit. The people who want it, which is, you know, the networks and stuff, they want it because it's good, you know, it's good television.
Yeah.
They want it. So they'll, you know, agitate to get it back and it'll be back, you know.
But I think any other news we had this week was more around team selection. So we can get to that when we do the previews.
Cool. Okay. Right. So then in that case, we're looking at the results and we're just talking about the first game there. The Broncos 28 defeat the Rabbits 18 in Brisbane. Glennie, thoughts? Look,
they played nothing like they were storming through the back end of last season. The Broncos definitely be obviously glad to bank the 2 points, but there's a long way to go. You know, this Reynolds injury as well is only going to hinder that process. They've got a long way to go to really click into gear, but not as far as South. South are well and truly definitely off, and the media starting to circle the Trell thing is one part of it. You know, there's...
Then you had the Josh Mansour, you know, that applies
funny
pressure
that,
to
funny that comes out the week that he's under pressure.
I think
there's a methodology that they use to, you know, South are the focal point. They're what, you know, people are talking about, and the media is going to keep circling until they start winning. So,
I tell you, JD's in trouble though. Like, he's, you know, he'll be gone by Magic Round if this shit continues.
Yeah, 100%.
He really will be, because South, you know, Souths aren't playing that shit. Broncos, they were pretty fucking mid in this game, with the exception of some injections of brilliance from Reece Walsh.
Mm.
I think otherwise these two teams were almost fucking on par with each other, being pretty damn average.
The first half of Souths was well below. Was well below. They didn't respect the football. There was no structural build to their play. Coming back, it looked like they'd obviously copped a spray at halftime, or a fairly stern talking to. And they seemed to have unlocked the key to Brisbane, to beating Brisbane, and it was just straight up the middle at them. You know, because
also, I think, you know, Havili had a great game as well off the bench, and you know, it's difficult for him to
test
it,
that's,
start, yeah, or take a, you know, take the role off the incumbent player. But I mean, he did provide a real difference when he
certainly
when
did.
He came on.
Shout out to whoever manages him. What a fucking,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, like, we're not even paid to pump up the market value of his clients, but it's just
look at the end of the day, we deliver rugby league truth, and
exactly,
you know, he had a fantastic match despite the gentleman that's handling his affairs. He could be doing a better job.
But Brisbane were just sliding so perfectly, and it's a style of defense that they are, you know, one of the best in the competition at. But it leaves them vulnerable, quick changes of direction or just following up and going straight up the middle. And there was time and time again that Souths found them vulnerable, and they just went away from that. There is no one in that South Sydney team who is going to, and for whatever reason it is, Ilias won't do it. Walker's not the guy to do it.
The Ilias experiment, the era, at least it appears to be short-term.
He's got the raw end of the deal there.
You know, Latrell's not marshalling the troops and giving anyone any direction. Cook's not doing it out of hooker. You're right, Havili is as close as anyone came to sort of getting them on the right path. But they had Brisbane. They had them, and they were doing the same thing over and over, and it was paying dividends for them, and they just went away from it.
And I also feel like that maybe it's just like a, I don't know, like a concentration thing for the Rabbits, because, I mean, they're pretty good straight after halftime against Manly too in Vegas.
Yep.
And same thing, then they just got run over the top, you know, and, you know, to lose the game, you know, fairly comfortably. And they didn't lose as much this time, but I mean, you know, the Broncos certainly, once they got in front, they were in front to stay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they need a leader. Or they, not even a general, but they need somebody.
How many leaders do you need?
Well,
I mean, they got some.
But do they have any?
They got three very good players. Four even with leadership potential. I mean, if you want to, you know, talk about you know, add Cameron Murray to the, you
well,
know,
he's
the spine.
At the top. He's at the top of the list. But
yeah, but no one's doing it. You got your Latrells, and you got Cook. You got, you know, Cody Walker. I mean, these are all guys that should. I tell you, it was pleasing to see Sean Kepi dropping it and making an absolute Kepi of himself. His origin campaign's fucking come off the rails in round two. That was the media before the Vegas game.
Oh,
his campaign for Origin starts now.
Very nice.
And it ends 2 weeks later, back in Sydney. back at Suncorp.
Cruzy said, "Bring it on, you haterade drinking cucks!" To the standard thousands of hashtag fuck the Broncos tweets.
You'll keep.
Bennett said the Vegas Cucks Cup. Thomas, I can't see us getting up over the Donkeys after how we ended last season and started this one. Unless the coach decides to put actual expectations on all players at training, we'll see. It's going to be a rough year.
Is he not though? Is that like, what's a, is there been something come out about? Is there like, are there players getting, you know, treated differently at training?
Well, that was the whole narrative around South last year. Sam Burgess left the club, and the concerns that there was, you know, Latrell and a couple of other stars essentially behaved completely differently, weren't expected to put in the same efforts at training that others were, you know, didn't have to do the same sessions even. So, Yeah, sounds like that might be coming back.
Yep, right.
To bite. Walters belongs in mixed social touch at Toowoomba.
Thank you.
There you go. Matthew
said it for years and people told me I was fucking wrong.
He said, how many hookers did these guys fuck in Vegas? Because both teams playing like they all bought back AIDS. There we go. Fucking hell. Stuart, hard to know who loves Reece Walsh most out of Warren Smith, Greg Alexander and Reece Walsh.
It's definitely Reece Walsh, but the second spot is a tightly run race.
Yeah, but I mean, but I want to say that the second spot is like fucking daylight behind that first place. Reece Walsh himself, like fucking daylight.
Matthew, there were some South forwards who absolutely busted a gut to keep themselves in that game tonight and should be filthy with their playmakers for going into hiding. Starting to think Sam Burgess was on to something. There we go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Sam Burgess can be the fucking oracle of truth of any fucking situation.
Guys like Sam Burgess, though, what they do know is, this group's splintered. You know? They understand when we won our grand final, we were all so tight. Every man was in there for every other man, and it was just one big group going through. He would understand what a fucking red flag it would be to have divisions and fractures in the club.
Yeah, but also, I mean, like, you know, his decision to openly talk about it says, you know, that he's on the there's sides there, and he's on the side that isn't the side of the hierarchy or the coaches, and he can do his little bit to try and fucking sink the dagger in on the way out the door.
Yeah.
Sharks 25, Doggies 6 out there at Reclaim Australia Stadium. And, yep, Could Sharkies not. Again with their traditional soft draw to start the season.
Yeah, I think...
Roll on and geez the Dogs.
I think they did some simple stuff well. I think they were, you know, they brought their trademark toughness, and it's enough to stay in a game with the Dogs and let the Dogs beat themselves.
That's really the case, isn't it?
I mean, the Dogs, it's funny, like they can have total 100% turnover of the squad. But really, if you're being honest, the style of play, it goes back to like Dean Pay, when they would have high completions but still score fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Like just they had nothing. Yeah. And this is the same thing here. I don't think that, like, I know some East fans, and they're pretty high on Drew Hutchison. And when he went to the Dogs and he got the starting position in the halves for the Dogs, they were like, yeah, great. He's fucking not it. he's not the guy. I mean, Birdo isn't either, but I mean, Birdo has some attributes, and while they aren't organizing or doing anything other than running and putting up a wobbly kick.
Yeah.
That's more than Hutchinson's got. And he needs a proper fucking halfback.
Yep. Certainly does.
So.
Certainly yeah, fucking look, does.
I think, yeah, it's like Marnie's not doing his job. Yeah, Tuffy in the at fullback, he's not. Yeah, maybe they should fucking put Crichton back there.
Because
he's not doing it.
It's this fucking weird thing where the Dogs seem to be wanting to create moments in a game instead of what fucking rugby league is, which is 80 minutes trying to work for an advantage, trying to take a couple of sets to work for an advantage, trying to run down one side of the field over and over and over again to create an advantage, running a same short ball to your second rower over and over and over again so the one time you go out the back, you've got an advantage. It's always the, oh, just put up a massive bomb, Birdo. Or, before he was fucked. Oh, the Fox will just make a break and run the length of the field. I don't understand the whole philosophy of the way they play the game.
But that's reflective of how they've compiled their squad.
Exactly.
It's a lot of individuals. But they lack leadership. They lack, you know, old tough heads to bring those forwards along. They lack an organizer in, you know, six or seven. They've got neither. They've gone out and they've bought names, but that doesn't necessarily equate to having bought a team.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And you got to remember that the Sharks started this game off, and I mean they had Britt Nicker in the bin.
In the bin. Yeah.
Almost instantly.
Yeah.
As well, like, and the Dogs had a bit of ascendancy from there. I mean, one of that time was, you know, when they had that try disallowed and everything. I mean, you know, they had their chance to press the advantage and get on top in the game, sure. but the Sharks, despite the being a man down,
weren't troubled.
No problems.
Yeah, 100%. So you look at the Bulldogs here, you know, completing 28 sets, 77%.
Yep.
They're never going to fucking win games. Absolutely fucking never. It's just not happening. 48 missed tackles.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocking. Sharky Dave came on. He said, the Sharks turned up for 10 minutes, scored 19 magic points and made the Dogs look like the incompetently coached fucks they are. Derek, the Dogs are rudderless. Effort and talent is there, but no direction at all. Hutchinson at 7 is a pipe dream. Sexton, best option, but probably not the answer. Work in progress. However, another long season coming this year. Troy, just like Nico's hair, too slick in the end.
I tell you, like, Nico, for some reason, is getting fucking harvesting bulk Dally M points from very fucking mid performance. He's not the guy doing it.
Well, narrative player.
Yeah, which is just this year is going to be the most devalued fucking one ever at the current rate. I mean, like when you're getting, you know, situations like last week with, you know, the Hammer getting a point in the game where they got fucking destroyed and it was one of the worst games he's ever played in his life. Fucking Nico's harvesting points for doing sweet fuck all.
Jeez, yeah. There you go.
Anyway.
Next game.
You know, more devalued than the 2023. The Panthers 26 defeat the Eels 18 out there at Bluebet. Step that, off you go.
Some defensive worries for Penrith in this one. I'm not sure what it was. For some,
it really seemed like just that fucking, like that edge forward sort of coming against the grain sort of back inside would just punch straight through and over very easily.
And especially close to the line.
Yep.
There were times in this game where it was that typical Panthers, you know, scramble, scramble, scramble. But there were some other moments where I don't know if people had switched off. I don't know if there was a lack of communication, but it's not as if there were massive personnel changes out there. Like, we lost Fish early. But that shouldn't have led to...
What's the prognosis there for him?
Well, he's out this week as well. It was obviously a shoulder injury. Apparently, from the hit, the shoulder was sort of pushed back and up.
Yeah.
Which is not the natural way that a shoulder is meant to go.
That's how it did mine.
But in saying that, and I said it before, these Panthers, the Eels clashes always seem to have something happen. One of the sides gets somebody injured or sent off or something happens. The difference there was that as soon as Penrith realised, okay, we've got second rowers defending in the centres here on our right side, they just sent all their traffic down there, all their traffic down there. And given that opportunity...
Not to mention it was like, you know, Kelma Tuolungi and Morgan Harper, the absolute fucking dynamic duo.
Of fuck-ups.
who conceded, I think they conceded like 6 line breaks to fucking Isaac Tungo alone.
Well, that's it. Well, but you know, again, that's his side. But that's the smart move, and we discussed it with the Bulldogs game the week before. You got Josh Adokar out there with absolutely fucking strings of sinew holding his arm together, and he sees zero traffic.
Yeah.
And as soon as Penrith figured out that there was a weakness, they just ran at it and exploited it all night. The fucking Moses Leota try. Is now, like, just shut the race off for try of the year. That was the fucking greatest one you will ever see. A fucking front
interesting
roller.
Call to make in
this week of all weeks. absolutely nothing. Oh, fucking big winger does a flip. Yay. You show me a prop forward fucking outrunning everyone else on the field. That was the fucking most sensational try you'll ever see.
I seen George Rose do it, and he wasn't even, you wouldn't, he was less a prop forward than just like a fat fucking punter.
But a much better showing from Penrith, and I think they'll be better for the run. Anything else you want to add, or we go straight to the socials?
Nah, hit the socials.
Let's go. Mark, Jerome is
Glenny's
already
looking bored of your shit
at the West Tigers in spirit, dishing up utter rubbish. The Eels scored twice from his rubbish. Jeff, most of Penrith's points are coming down the left edge, with Tulagi out of position due to Jerome Luai being an absolute fucking grub. Oh, there you go.
But I just a slight correction there. Tulagi, he doesn't have to be out of position. He can be exactly in position. It doesn't fucking matter.
Grover, please let Parramatta win just for the Owens memes. Yeah, no thanks.
Well, how'd that work out for you?
Yeah. Devonhead, he said Dylan Edwards, already sick of being compared to the Big Diesel, is letting his hair grow back. Took a midweek trip to Turkey, I think.
I can understand.
Grover, and this is an interesting one. There is not one coach or assistant coach who can convince me that short dropouts are worth the risk reward. I want to see every team, every time, get burned in the fires of hell as they chew up their defensive energy budget on their line over and over.
Correct.
Thoughts?
Agreed. Boot the piss out of it. The game is since 1908, has been about possession and field position. Kick the fuck out of it. Get down the other end.
And I'll tell you,
someone go through all of them from just the first two rounds even. Just let me know what the turnover success rate is.
Fuck that. I forget which game it was in, but I saw one long dropout, and there may have been more, but one stuck in my mind, because any player with any sort of athletic ability that is used to catching a kick, i.e. fullbacks, wingers, centres, were all up close ready for the short dropout.
Yep.
Right? So whoever this was, as you say, Glenny, belted the piss out of it, and there were two props fumbling around somewhere near halfway. Trying to figure out how the fuck they were going to get this ball. It's absolutely perfect. So, yeah, we agree with you, Grover. Fuck short dropouts.
I wonder if you could fake it. You know, like have the halfback or someone, like, if as long as you're within your time constraint that you've got to kick the dropout, have your halfback step up to it so everyone's, like you say, all the adequate catches of fucking
everyone
ready for
the position
short
they're
one, right?
Be in.
Yeah,
and then all
you stack
of a sudden,
one side.
You've got a, whether it's Birdo or whatever, you know, someone like the Dogs or someone with a boot like that, and fucking knock it 60 on the fly.
Yeah.
And chase hard.
That's it.
Well, the thing is, you can line up your guys on your goal line like you're going short, because if you can get it to halfway, they've got plenty of time to fucking alter their run and fan out and present a straight line across the field if you go deep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can kind of fake it in that way. And, like, you know, the guy who's going to kick it short is, you know, going to be able to kick it the halfway as well, because no one's doing short drop outs just because they haven't got the fucking, they haven't got the length in the game.
And correct, if there's props fumbling around and you get enough of a boot on it, so, and the ball gets a bit of a run and you've got the hammer or someone that runs like that, they're fumbling around with no pressure on them. You get your fastest blokes running up on them. It could lead to an error.
And
you can get the ball back at the very least.
The only thing a prop does worse than catch a fucking free falling bomb is pick up a rolling ball on the ground without knocking it on.
Yeah.
So, yes. Nope. Deal's closed. Short dropouts are fucking AIDS. You heard it here first. Next game.
The Raiders 32 defeat the West Tigers 12 down there in Canberra.
Next,
and the West Tigers have their perfect start to the season snuffed out pretty quick. the first sign of an opposition team, on the field.
The Tigers dished
up. So, Glenny, what do you make?
Tigers dished up approximately 7 to 8 minutes of quality to get back into the game there for a very brief period of time. 70-odd minutes of absolute steaming piles of dog shit. And this is how three-peats are done. this is what's required. they understand the assignment better than anyone. They've won two in a row. They're looking for a third.
So Glennie has watched the Bulldogs and still believes in the three-peat.
Yeah,
he does.
Fuck.
And that's just commitment to the. That's just commitment.
Raiders, look, I don't like the Raiders. I don't like them as a club. I don't like their players. I don't like, certainly don't like their fan base. But they gave the Tigers what they deserved, and probably should have given them a bit more. Jordan Rapiner, not a fan. Fucking dived, then pissed and moaned when he got taken off for a HIA, which was hilarious.
How many times has that happened to that guy?
Yeah.
I reckon we're up to half a dozen now, where he's tried to milk something and then ended up having to sit down for an HIA about it.
Yeah.
I reckon it's up there.
Lockie Galvin, I thought he had some good moments. He was one of the Tigers' better players. He couldn't fold his effort. He made a few errors. He did some really good things. He, you know, had a late on try for final.
Was by far your best player.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But the young 5'8" there, Strange for the Raiders. He was the outstanding with a bit more confidence. And I probably agree. Tim Sheens used to always say, "You're not a first grader unless you played 50 games." And Ricky Stewart said something similar in the media the week leading up to this game in regards to the young fella. And it's true. And with that little bit of extra experience and, you know, timing and just being comfortable out there, he's going to be outstanding.
For which club?
Well, I'm assuming at the Raiders, but he might finish up at Souths or, you know, whoever else is poaching players from Canberra.
There you go. There you go.
Probably
he doesn't end up on the rooftop.
And look, I don't think any of those players that leave Canberra have an issue with the club or the coaching. I think it's more the fans.
So, Glennie, all jokes aside, and I know we make lots of them.
I'm not making any jokes.
At the Tigers' expense, is this what you were expecting this season to start like, or were you expecting a more improved, cohesive side?
No, I expected, whilst they find their way, you know, new coach, the whole club's different, you know. I think Benji has to find his way, and, you know, it's easy for a pre-season or whatever to think that you've got a cohesive group, but there's no greater test than putting them out there on the field and seeing what you've got. I think the real test is over the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks, how he fine-tunes that, how he gets the best out of, you know, someone like Galvin. I think Dream Buller, he was quiet. He needs to be more involved and get his hands on the football and a lot more than what he did in this game. Yeah, so I expect it's going to take time, and I hope they... The thing with the Tigers, and we've seen it time and time again over many, many years, is the only player they've ever stuck with is Luke Brooks. You know, like,
yeah.
You've had other guys come into the side, show a little bit of promise but make some mistakes, maybe have an unhappy game, and boom, they're in New South Wales Cup again, you know? We've got nothing to lose. Fucking stick with them.
The other thing I want to talk about here is this weekend, post-game, it's turned out that you're going to need to do some fairly significant mental gymnastics if you're going to continue supporting the West Tigers. Because we all know that one of your favourite things to do is to support the West Tigers. However, it has now been said that hating on the West Tigers is one of your other favourite things to do, which is being racist.
That's true.
I'll leave Hector out of it.
Poor so how do you... How are you going to decide which of your passions to pursue, or can you do both at once effectively?
Well, I think you've known me long enough to know never to underestimate me. you also have told me on many an occasion just how much in awe of my ability to you are of my ability to multitask, and I feel like I can do both. With lovely. Equal effect.
There you go. I'll tell you, I'm glad Hector doesn't listen to our show. We'd have the fucking hate
Hector's
crime.
A real problem. Hector, Hector had, you know, a couple of paragraphs trying to explain himself, yeah. and it got worse the more I read.
Someone managed to confuse Hector to the point where he thinks being biased in any way is racism.
Yeah,
because that's essentially what he was saying. Like, the word he was looking for was biased.
Yeah,
but the word he was coming out with was racist. But
look, at the end of the day, if West Tigers were indeed a race, probably would be the only case in history, without exception, listen very carefully to what I'm saying, the only case in history, without exception, where that particular race could be eliminated completely without upsetting anybody.
Oh, that's so what's that? Like excellent little excerpt that I can cut out of that one, buddy.
You're welcome.
Is that like a Nicorette patch for genocide?
I love how you were so adamant that this is the only situation where this counts, and just proceeded to say it where I just cut it straight out for
I said what I said, Nathan. God. I said what I said.
Right.
Glenn Hoskins showing he's been held back while he was at the Panthers, didn't he? Have a fucking blinder.
He did. Good game. Raiders fans fucking loving him.
And what a hard player to hate.
Yeah.
You know, he works hard. He doesn't tend to fuck up for stupid reasons. You know? Or from a lack of attention or a lack of effort. Yeah, big fan. Brendan Rapana laid down for an HIA. The doctor then sent him for the field. If you heard enough, you couldn't play the ball. You need to be assessed. You certainly do.
Yeah, Jordan Rapana is just Joey Leilua if Joey Leilua had AIDS.
Fucking hell. Okay.
Well, Joey Leilua on Ozempic.
I'll tell you what, though. He has exceeded all expectations I had for him actually being a fullback, in terms of positioning and catching balls. Given they didn't throw a lot at him or put a lot of pressure on him.
It was the Tigers. Let's not give him too much credit.
Their chase was fucking woeful on the weekend. But I don't think he's had a drop ball yet. So, Mitch, the best part of this game was the full-time whistle. Don't be like that. Be some fucking Dairy Queen. Oh, we got a comment that might be hidden because it's offensive. Oh. Yeah, all it is, okay. Ben said, how often can...
I guess it was.
No, it's really not. It's like, how often can we punch down on these poor cunts twice a year, every year?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Ben, strike on the edges, a kicking half, a strong running 5'8", and a pack that can go toe-to-toe with anyone. Can't wait for Ricky's whinge in the presser. Beautiful. Next game.
The Cowboys defeated the Knights 21-20 up there at the Abattoir in Townsville in front of a bumper crowd to open their home campaign. And the game ended in... look, there's certain criteria that we have for disrespectful field goals, but I would put it to you that if Chad Townsend is kicking the field goal, no matter what the score is, whether it's golden point or 80-0, it's disrespectful.
The Chad wins it.
Talking about disrespect, how much disrespect does Valentine Holmes have for winning? That was one of the all-time clangers from such a quality player.
Yeah.
Like the fucking kicks, the drop balls, it was just absolutely shocking.
He owned it, though. In the post-match interview, he owned it. He put his hand up and said, you know, basically said, I was horrible. It was one of my worst ever games or something to that effect.
Yeah,
And I assume he was awarded 3 Dally M points.
Yeah, I think it was 5. I think he got 5. Because Steve Roach is awarding it.
Ruin Sims, I suppose.
Yeah.
So as a result of this game, Newcastle have made some player changes as well.
Yeah, ridiculous. Look, Newcastle were controlled that game for the most part. They couldn't close it out. I feel for Jackson Hastings. He's obviously been made the scapegoat for it. And I guess as far as a closer, your halfback is the guy that everyone would be looking to. He's done it plenty of times. You know, over the last
This is about the sixth. This is about the sixth club.
Yeah,
where he's got the shits.
Yeah,
but has he, or has the club just decided?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how he comes back. I mean, there was some dubious reporting from fucking Bulldog Richie through the week about him getting the shits, but that's since been disproven. Like the way the story went was that Adam O'Brien said, "Listen, you know, you're getting dropped or whatever," and gave him the option of, you know, like to go and train with Reggie's, and he was like, you know, fuck it, I'm going.
So yeah, the way the story read, or the headline was,
the story was, I mean, it was like, but I mean, then it came out, it was like optional, like, yeah. and it was actually like just the pool and
it was designed
stretch day, I think.
It was designed for you to think that he'd had a spack at the coach,
yes, and gone home, fuck
and
you,
gone
home.
Off in a huff, yeah.
Yes.
Whereas the reality was, they said, look, you're not playing this weekend. Do you want to do this with the reserve grade boys? And he said, yeah, nah, no thanks.
Yeah. And it turned out it was just a pool and recovery day.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So
want to say I cannot fault anything that Jackson Hastings has done since he's come back to the NRL. That includes his time at the Tigers.
Yeah.
His
time at the Tigers was probably...
Sorry?
Yeah, his time at the Tigers was probably, you know, I would have thought that was the end of... Yeah, that seemed to be a sign that he'd sort of grown up and that was the end of everything, yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see how he bounces back from
every interview, every comment, everything that he's done, his application on the field. At some point you've got to say, I know it's easy with the reputation he's had in past years of his career and his previous stint in the NRL. It's easy to shit on the guy, and he's probably brought some of that on himself, but... He's several seasons back now. He was a large part of what Newcastle did at the back end of this last season, and I cannot fault that guy's attitude, at least what he's putting out there. So unless it's a very, very different story when the cameras are off and the doors are closed, but I get a good vibe from the guy. I can't fault him.
Mm. Interesting. If you'd have said to me after the game, which of Newcastle's halves are you going to replace next week, it's not him.
Mm.
No, same.
Anything else we got for that one?
No.
No, not really. Nice. It's just it was pleasing to see a good game up there for the North Queensland opener, and they delivered what their crowd wanted, and the Knights, you know, as each week goes on, they can prove more and more that what a flash. In the pan, the end of last season was, and it was probably more down to South's fading than anything else.
Jordan, if Chad Townsend isn't a future immortal, I'm not here. Bloody entertaining game overall.
Fucking calm down on the Chad.
Who said that?
Fucking future immortal.
Who said that? They're not here.
Jordan.
Come on.
Danny, you said we had every opportunity to wrap this one up and we fucked it up big time. Defensive lapses and ball control issues at the wrong times killed us in the end. Have to be addressed ASAP. Graham, I don't like giving Newcastle any credit, but where has the ticker gone from last year? Daniel, the Knights and conceding tries late in the half, there's nothing more consistent. They love knocking off early. AOB needs to make a decision on the halves. Cogger isn't a nine. Start him or play him in Reggie's.
Right. So we move on to the Storms 30, defeating the Warriors 26 down at the Korean Housewife. And this one, an exciting game.
Very much.
Particularly towards the end there, where the Melbourne Storm were well and truly out of this game and had to score two tries in the last 2.5-3 minutes to snatch the win. And the win being sealed by what some people are saying to be the greatest finish to a try by Xavier Coates.
And people that didn't see the Moses Leota try.
Well, I mean, they did because it happened before it. Like... I mean, even with recency bias, people didn't even mention the Moses Leota try at all. Having said that, though, I don't know if it was the greatest. There was a
put it this way.
I know the one you think of.
No, you're thinking of the Nofaluma one at Campbelltown against Manly.
He fucking dropped that one. Mate.
Yes.
Never, I mean, it's fucking clear. Never disappoints. His hand wasn't within a foot of the fucking ball.
Never disappoints. I mean,
BMOS, there was a BMOS one, though, that was a similar kind of situation, but he was under a lot more defensive pressure and a similar sort of, you know, put down. I mean, this one from Coatsy was spectacular. I mean, he fucking launched himself from, you can see when he crosses the 10-meter line, he probably launched himself from like 7 meters out and probably helped somewhat with Montoya, was it, who came across and hit him?
Yeah, bumped him forward a bit.
Might have fucking given him just that, like just held him in the air a little bit longer, you know, to get in there because he just got to the line. With the ball, but I mean, it's fucking spectacular, the things, you know, since they changed the rules and everything with regards to the corner post and everything, it is spectacular, yeah, the sort of shit that we get to see in the game now.
Yep, 100%. 100%. Not unhappy for the Warriors. You know, they obviously would have preferred to come away with a win and the 2 points. But I think there's a situation where you can paint that game as a success for them.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think they felt it, though. Looking at the press conference and everything, they were...
They would have been shattered.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, they've had 2 games this year now out of 2 where, like, they were fucking so far on top in games. Yeah. I mean, the Sharks one was, you know, was kind of lesser because it was like a point a minute for the first sort of, you know, 10, 15 minutes or something.
Yep.
And then they just dropped completely off. But this one, they were in it and they had it won against a team who's travelling very well at the moment. You know, against expectations, I think, yeah, you know, considering it. The injuries and stuff. Man.
Yeah, I don't think the Warriors are that far off where they were last year. I think, if you look at the Newcastle example, Newcastle are way off.
Exactly.
But the Warriors, I think, have actually done... They've obviously put the work in over the off-season and you know, Webster is, you know, a bit... You know, whether it's evolution or just developing further as a first grade coach, he's got them on the same plane, which has got to be, you know, pleasing. Despite the couple of losses at the start of the season, I think that, you know, there's definitely success ahead for the Warriors.
Yeah, definitely.
Just for Melbourne, though, obviously no Munster, no problem, but. No, Hughes, as we said earlier, is a lot different proposition this week, but. Hughes is
an underrated player.
Absolutely.
And like when you're talking about the sevens and there is that factor that because he's not going to play for New South Wales or Queensland, he doesn't get actually brought up in a lot of discussions because that's where a lot of those end up. But far, he is just everything you want in a half with the fucking heart, the size of the MCG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely stellar player.
Good to see Pappy get through again, and you know, Harry Grant. Those three just really just clicked along, and they compensate for the plotters that are infiltrating Melbourne's squad these days. And yeah, they look really good.
And they need to, yeah. And it's going to be, you know, a difficult challenge from this week too, because I mean, it's going to be two kind of utilities playing out of the halves with Pezzett and Wishart will come in.
Yeah,
for Hughes. So. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more on the shoulders of, you know, you guys like your Pappies and your Grants.
Yeah, spot on. Spot on. Okay. Greg, you said the Warriors getting fucked by the bunker. Interesting.
What was that in regards to? I can't remember. I can't remember that specifically.
I just thought I'd throw an old ref's fault in there. Love them.
Yeah, you sort of have to put like the, like, what time did that comment go in there? You go, oh, okay, that was in the 26 minutes. So we go back, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what happened.
Our old mate, One-Eyed Tiger, said, stop the count, try the year, and comeback of the year. Bank it. Bennett, that's the greatest try.
That will definitely get, if that doesn't get try of the year,
yeah,
it'll get like the Peter Frelingos fucking highlight moment of the year, that award, that's it. For sure.
Bennett said, that's the greatest try I've ever seen scored in this, the greatest game of all, and I fucking hate the Storm.
He does too, can vouch.
James, I'm honestly just happy for Pappy. So am I. He didn't have a... part of his body explode like he did after he came back. Toto.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been fucking gone. Like, he could have been
He should have been gone three times over.
Yeah, yeah. Like career, just career done, and just one of those big what if sort of situations, yeah. You know. But
have we spoken about that? Because I'm not sure that we have that many. Because I tried What's to that? Think of them.
Oh, people who.
Yeah.
Who had excellent careers potentially cut short of.
You look at American sports, and there's so fucking many, especially in,
yeah.
In around the basketball. There's all of these people, and you're like, well, what if they didn't get injured? What if, what could they have been? And I can't think of heaps of them in the NRL.
Yeah, I think people could think about them with their own team, though. I don't know if you can think any Panthers ones, like. But I can think of a couple of Manly ones, for sure. Like Nick Kosef in the 90s, like there was the back row with him and Daniel Gartner and
yeah. Bieber.
And like Nick Kosef would have been one of the all time fucking greats, but he was, you know, his knees were, you know, him out of like a longer career. Even Brett Stewart, like he's, I mean, think of the clip at which he was scoring tries without his knee injuries. Like he missed a lot of time through
That's not what I'm talking about, because he's still remembered.
But he had a great career, a significant number of games.
Yeah, for a contact sport, there is a surprisingly little number of those.
Oh, there's bound to be. Okay, so Jarrell Yowie, there's one.
Yep, there's one.
Yep. There's that. Who was that other guy? Fucking who was it? Fuck, lost it. There's another player I remember that had a horrific fucking
Taniela Tuaki.
Yeah, I'll give you that one too. Definitely. He's definitely one.
Brett Patworth.
I'll give you one.
Brett Patworth was worse than fucking any of them. Absolute fucking gun. I think he must have tried to come back three times, and the three comeback games, he was fucking blew some part of his body, knees and all the rest of it.
Timmy Moulton, Glennie.
It's another one.
Manly and Tigers legend.
There you go. Giannis. He said, Union is responsible for the greatest crime against humanity in the 2 years Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was not playing rugby league.
He's getting better with each outing. I wish he'd be able to get more involved, because he's starting to do that stuff, you know what I mean? Yep. Like,
that's it.
All right, the mighty Manly Sea Eagles, 21, defeated the Sydney Roosters, 14, at Brookvale Oval. Great crowd in attendance, and another great performance, and I'm liking what I see so far. I mean, this game, for me, going into it, the Roosters have obviously got an elite fucking back line on paper when you look at them. A great pack, although this year it kind of tends... You know, they're sort of in that transitional year where they've got great sort of younger guys, and, you know, like Letters is coming to the end of his thing, and they don't, you know, quite have, you know, the more experienced sort of guys. But, I mean, you know, they've got Lindsay Collins and, you know, Jared Rhea Hargraves in there. And so, I mean, they've got enough and guided around by Cheese. But fucking Paseka and, of all people, O'Shea, they were fucking... They not only held their own, they actually dominated. Like, from the first fucking hit up that O'Shea had, couldn't believe it. I mean, he's, you know, it's probably one of the best games he's ever had in the Manly jersey. Great game for, yeah, kicking and homolying from Daly. But when he ran the ball, he looked a bit jittery, like he was sort of running around in circles a little bit. It wasn't his best game, but the tactic of just running sort of three different plays to Homoli and just sort of turning him back inside or short ball or whatever, you know, just and unleashing him on the poor cunt in front of him, the Roosters, was a great tactic that, you know, that just, you know, kept working all game long. I mean, should have had a try, the most ridiculous fucking disallowed try I've ever seen in my life. But on the other side, I love the way that they're actually moved away from that kind of 2021 turbo ball, where it's just him doing everything. And now with Brooksy there, he's actually taking a much larger role, and everyone's getting involved and they're looking a lot more dangerous. So I mean, Kohler's going to have a great season the way he's going. So much so in this game that, like, you didn't even fucking hear Joey Manu's name called all game. He was so dominant over the top of him. Once again, they left about three tries out there, I think, and, you know, gave up one through an intercept that was, you know, batted forward. But, which probably would have been more indicative of the gap between the sides. But the Roosters, man, elite backline and whatever their forward stocks are like, their halves got absolutely fucking worked in this game so badly that you can have the fucking Teddy and you can have fucking Joey Manu, Golden Boy, Golden Boot, you can have fucking Swali, you can have these guys, but if you can't fucking get the ball out to them accurately,
yeah,
then you ain't got shit. I mean, like, this is a game where Manly had one fucking winger who's terrified of contact, another winger who's a centre and playing his club debut, who got knocked out fucking earlier in the game by Tedesco. Why they weren't fucking just throwing bombs up to fucking Tupou on one side and fucking Dominic Young on the other side?
Yeah.
Or to try and do fucking something. I mean, they had probably one or two good shots with Young, and Tommy Talau, to his credit, you know, did a great job in defusing those. But after the way that fucking they scored that first try through Tupou and the way that that Jackson Polo defended, they could have run a million fucking things down there as well, but they just couldn't. And I mean, Ruben Garrick, to his credit, did a great job getting up in the face of Keary very quickly, and that caused him to sort of throw shit passes, drop the ball, you know, that like a number [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of times and sort of cut it off. But and now Keary again, another fucking head knock. So does he play this week? You know, is he the latest halves? Is he the latest player in the halves? Latest player in the halves to get dropped? This time it was by, you know, Turbo's knee, but yeah. Not the coach, but still.
And that's the thing. This game was there for the Roosters. If they had one half-decent, half-competent half, they win this game and they win it fucking easily. Because you look over it and it was three tries apiece. Manly kicked one more conversion and two more penalty goals. That was the difference in the game. If they had someone exactly to your point that could have taken advantage of the obvious fucking mismatches they had out there, then they win that game. They've had a size problem in their halves for the past couple of years. You look at any of the teams that have been successful for repeated seasons, and at least one of their halves is a big, solid body in defense. And the Roosters don't have that, and they get absolutely fucking bullied.
Yeah, I mean, like, the way Manly controlled the game, I mean, they ended up with, like, you know, 58% of the possession and shit. So, I mean, they definitely controlled the game completely and deserved the win. But, yeah, the Roosters, then, you know, they're not the fucking team. They're not the team that, like, people were just jizzing over at the start of the season, like, this is their year kind of thing. Like, it's the first year they haven't got a bunch of injuries and shit or whatever.
Yep.
I didn't see it when they were saying it. And I thought, and then when they beat the Broncos, you know, pretty easily over in Vegas, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm the dumb cunt. But now I'm convinced that no, originally, you know, I was right. They aren't the fucking team.
That's it. Troy.
They're not.
There were a lot of Tigers fans watching this game today, realizing that Luke Brooks was not the problem at the Tigers. Maybe he can be the next Joey Johns yet.
I was on the record, like, when watching, doing member sides with Glennie last year and stuff. I was on the record. I used to love watching Brooksy and his little fucking legs pumping, Glennie. You know this. I'm not lying.
No, it's true.
No, this is not a recent thing. It's something I've been an enjoyer for years. But I tell you, watching Brooksy pump his little legs and have a smile on his face at the same time, even better. Chef's kiss.
There you go.
It is just the fucking greatest.
There you go. Ben, Luke Brooks really was robbed of a lustrous career by the Tigers.
Oh, he's still got time.
Liam, always love a sunny Brookie win, but there were so many suspect refs fault calls, I don't actually know who deserved to win. There you go, interesting take. Next game.
I defy you to actually list all of the suspect calls, sir.
I don't, because it means we won't get on to the next game.
And the Dolphins 38 defeated the Dragons fucking zero down at Reddy, KO Stadium. I was just down the road having fish and chips and this game was on and they were fucking loving it down there, let me tell you. Dolphins 38 to fucking nil. Now, keep in mind, the Dolphins were smashed like 40-something to not much last week. And the Dragons themselves had, you know, a pretty good win. To say this was game, to say that, like, look, I mean, I assume everyone got 8 out of 8 of tipping. It was the easiest fucking week of tipping of all time. But I would never have expected the Dolphins to, A, do the best defensive performance of their short time as a club in the NRL.
Yep.
Their first nil score line that they've kept aside to.
Yep.
And to score 38 points, like...
That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, like, this game pretty early in the second half, it was very clear that the Dolphins were going to win the game. But then the way they kept actually running it, like, you know, turning it from like a 20-something to not much.
Yeah.
But the way they actually really got their backs up and started running them in, you know, and having a bit of a fucking party.
Yeah.
Was great. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than they're running in the second half, they're running down towards the Lees Club end where they've got the balcony there that's right up to the sideline, you know, behind the dead ball line there. That would have been the fucking greatest. And that's probably why they were having so much fun running to try in the second half.
Yeah, that's it.
Because running in, chuck them up to the fucking drunks on the on the veranda. Just the best.
I'll tell you what, though. That there was a play where Sloan had made a break. He'd gotten through the line. He only had the hammer to beat. And the hammer was advancing on him, trying to shut him down. So Sloan's put the ball on his toe.
Yep.
And he is fucking quick. Terrell Sloan is fucking quick. And he's put the pedal down, and then the hammer has just turned and chased, and just the fucking speed on that guy. And, you know, it was the lucky bounce. The ball bounces to the right. Sloan's on the right.
Yeah, it goes to the left and he got
But just the acceleration on him, he is a special, special athlete.
And it was a good battle between those two, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I thought.
I mean, despite the scoreline, but yeah.
Hammer bounced back nicely at an, you know, unhappy game, as you say. Despite the Dalian point, was probably one of the worst games of his career last week. He bounced back beautifully for the Dolphins. I think the Dragons, you know, this game was definitely a, you know, back to earth with a thud type experience for him. I'd suggest Flano is probably the right man for the job there at the Dragons. It's still a huge job nonetheless. And I think it's probably second only to the Tigers head coaching job as far as most difficult assignments currently going in the NRL. So,
what would you take, Lenny? If you got one out of those two jobs, would you take the Tigers job where you have absolutely zero proper first grade talent? Or do you take the Dragons job where you have the Ben Hunts and the Tyrell Sloan.
You've got the zero first grade talent except for Ben Hunt, who doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. You know, but you have pieces, quality pieces to work with at the Dragons. Whereas at the Tigers, it's a fucking barren talent tundra.
I don't like the way that you've structured that.
I think he's gonna say the Tigers because he loves the Tigers.
Correct. And suggesting that the Dragons have more talent when we've got Buller, Appy, and the likes.
Would you trade
Appy, etc.
Honestly, would you trade Buller and Appy for Ben Hunt?
Oh, would I trade both of them to get Ben Hunt? Absolutely not.
No, either of them.
I'd hang on to Appy, but Buller could probably go if it meant getting Ben Hunt at 7.
Yeah, there you go.
Still taking the Tigers job.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And then you'd probably fucking have Ben Hunt in 14 sub-adam.
But, look, imagine if I coached the Dragons. The fun that I could have with their fucking fans. I tell you, it probably makes it worthwhile.
The presses would make fucking Ricky Stewart look absolutely level-headed.
Absolutely. You know why we lost? Because this is what our fans deserve. Every one of them, without exception.
I mean, Fox Sports, like, then you get your mates like Paul Kent and stuff on 360 going, who is this fucking Trotters that he keeps talking about and calling a cunt in the post-match press conferences?
Why does he keep talking about cash? Does he want handouts?
Aren't they paying him enough? Yeah. Is there salary cap concerns at the club?
Fuck the cash.
Giannis said, "Hello, Hookness, my old friend." Scott, oh, yeah. The Flanagan gains are gone. And then that was led to a tirade of replies, or, you know, the dank has run dry. Bennett, in every sense of the word, Dragons are a myth. Timmy McIntyre just fucked him a strawberry sponge cake. Scott, with the comment of the entire round, said this is the second time a hammer has derailed the Dragons' season. fucking love it.
All right, let's go next round. I see Glennie, he's fucking fading fast.
I really am.
He was probably fading about the Tigers game. Dolphins get the bye this week. I should say the Titans got the bye last week. Just to reiterate, something that I care deeply about is that currently in last place is the Dogs. Second last place, the Rabbits, and third last place is the Newcastle Knights after two rounds of action. The Panthers take on the Broncos Thursday night down there at Bluebet. The big fucking rematch or whatever.
I'll tell you. However, it is a cellar dweller. Fucking 9th versus 10th. What a match.
They're fighting for the West Tigers Cup at this point. But, Fish is out, as we know.
Fish is gone.
Which brings in, like, you know, a like-for-like replacement in Matt Eisenhuth. Broncos. Let's see what the Broncos got. So Reynolds is out. No time on his time on the sideline, the amount of weeks he'll spend on the sideline. So Jockey Madden comes in.
Yeah.
Glennie's mate.
Love the guy.
It's gonna be the semi Tigers spine running out for the Broncos to try and stave off a second consecutive loss to the Penrith Panthers.
There you go.
Payne Haas also out with a knee injury.
Yeah. So, Fish being out is significant for Penrith, but I still expect him to win easily.
I think with Payne Haas out as well, though, that kind of just evens that, whatever advantage was there, that evens that out, you know?
Yeah,
it does.
Penrith 13 plus.
This would be telling. The Broncos had better want this, and I think they do. But you hear
they won
this...
the corresponding game last year as well down there.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that was round one.
Yeah.
That was round one. You read stuff this week that the Broncos are Kevy's banned them from talking about the grand final in the week leading up.
He must have done that when Reynolds was fucking getting rehab on his knee or something.
Not there. Yeah.
There's no way that Coach Reynolds would have fucking...
No, not at all. Not
done
at all.
That shit, no.
Penrith 13 plus.
I think Panthers should get
it. But I tell you, wouldn't it be fucking amazing if the Broncos get out to a fucking 2-3 try lead and the same thing fucking happens to them. Oh, my fucking God. Paprika.
Yeah. Look, I expect the Panthers to win because I don't think the Broncos have been playing very well at the moment. But look, it's going to be the game. If they're going to get up for a game, it's going to be this one.
Yep, that's it.
But, yeah, look, I don't know. I'm still not convinced with Cobbo either, where he is. But, you know, Supercoach Kevy knows best.
There you go.
And the bench of the Broncos is not great, if we're being honest.
We get it. Penrith's going to win.
Yeah, do you agree, Glennie, or are you just commenting on what we're saying?
I've already said Penrith 13 plus.
Uh-huh. Warriors take on the Raiders over in Christchurch. So Wade Egan still out for the for the Warriors. Mm. Well, he's been named. He said so maybe he comes back this week.
It's a tough third matchup. Tough third matchup.
In that.
For whom? Canberra?
For the Warriors. You know, they really had it sewn up last week, and now they come up against a team who have seemed to have put a lid on a lot of their weaknesses from last season. You know, Canberra's weaknesses last season, for the most part, was fitness and handling.
And Ricky Stewart.
And they've been sensational at both of those this season. So it's going to take another massive effort from the Warriors, and it's going to be a very physical game. They're going to need to be switched on for the full 80, but I think they'll get there.
Yeah, I think I don't have any issues tipping the Warriors at all. I think they'll win easily, being honest.
The Warriors?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Geez, I was impressed with the young fullback Tulpeki.
Yeah.
I had plenty to say about him being named at fullback in round one. take it all back. I was wrong. I didn't understand his game. But I think the Warriors will. I think to Jay's point, it'll be a very physical contest. I think it's actually going to be a really entertaining game, and I think the Warriors will win.
Yep. The Roosters take on the Rabbitohs Friday night, and this one, Rabbits going terribly. Roosters coming off a loss. Two teams hate each other's guts. How many bins are we getting?
Oh, I don't know if it'll come to bins. I think South.
Yeah, it won't.
South will be up for the contest.
This is going to. This is the debut of Jack Whiten for the Rabbits.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
On the Roosters side, Keary is out with a concussion, and so Sandon Smith comes from the bench to replace him at six. And I guess Sandon Smith had a little bit of an audition at times last week. So I think he'll slot in there, you know, reasonably well. And Dean Hawkins comes in at halfback for the Rabbits, replacing the dropped Ilias.
No, I expect South's big names to fire, and I think South will win 1-12.
Yep.
I think South are they're in coach killing mode. Ooh. And I think the Roosters are going to get them.
There you go.
Do I have a score line for you? No, I don't. But I think the Roosters will win.
Mm.
Here's a real fucking early Spoonerpalooza. Saturday afternoon, we got the Bulldogs taking on the Titans. Are the Titans the team that we saw in round one before they had their bye? What have they fixed? You know, will Kieran Foran, he's been named, so he comes back in to the side. Will a halves pairing of Kieran Foran and Tanner Boyd,
oof,
roughly similar sorts of players. Will I have any? Will AJ Brimson stay at the Gold Coast? I heard a rumor going around today that he might go to the Eels.
Wow!
But
to play where?
Fullback. Shift Gutho to the centres.
There you go.
To me, it doesn't. To me, it doesn't ring true. I can't imagine Gutho relinquishing. I think Gutho loves it too much. But you know,
I've also seen him play centre on one occasion. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
Kurt Capel fucking absolutely rinsed him.
Never forget.
Kurt Capel he does rinse guys from time to time.
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
You're fucking slow on the uptake tonight.
It's funny.
Doggies versus Titans. I don't know who's going to win because the Dogs are thoroughly unimpressive.
I'm tipping the Dogs.
Ooh. I mean, can they get it back together? Can the Titans be that bad again? Like,
This is one of
the closer games in terms of difficulty to make a decision. Like, I'm inclined to go Dogs just because it's at Belmore. And like the Titans showed us fucking nothing in round one, like absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
How much can they change? What can Desi do?
No.
Everyone knows about the calf's blood now. Everyone's doing the beetroot shit and the pickle juice and whatever fucking shit he come up with.
Titans to win because they don't have Kurt Mann.
You have literally, you've got more vendettas and agendas than, I thought it would have been me, but I think now, over the years, I think it's more you. Maybe it's just because certain players have dispersed around the competition a little bit more. But, like, you know, Kurt Mann, obviously, he's moved on from, like, you know, he was once under the Dragons umbrella. But now he's sort of started circulating himself around the competition and just adding agendas for you. The Dragons take on the Cowboys. This one's happening at Jubilee. Dragons coming off an absolute fucking destruction job from the Dolphins last week, who received an absolute destruction job from the Cowboys in week one.
Mm.
So, simple mathematics says to me that the Dragons lost by 38 to the Dolphins, who lost by about 25 to the Cowboys.
You have to go to the Cowboys. Therefore,
Cowboys by 60.
Week one Dragons. 63.
What was the margin in that first game? I can't remember.
Week one Dragons, I reckon, would have gone close to beating the week one Cowboys. How do you know who turns up?
Well, yeah, that goes back to the last game too. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Times, but, you know,
exactly.
It's that first month of the competition Cowboys. Where things haven't quite settled yet. But the Cowboys, like, Cowboys, so easily, so very easily, they're going to win this game. Very, very easily.
Yep.
Because let me tell you, the fucking tempo that the Dolphins come up with last week was probably five times faster than the tempo that they came out with in round one.
That's
and that was a big part, and that was a big different part of the difference. That was slow and looking like, you know, the aged forward pack that they kind of have, and, you know, but they actually, they really picked up the pace, and like Fousey, you know, really led the way. And so, and that put the Dragons on the back foot. And the Cowboys, though, they're doing that shit by default with their young guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're going to win fucking easily.
Agreed.
Biggest margin of the round, probably. Okay. West Tigers take on the Sharks, Leichhardt Oval.
Sharks.
What do we got this week?
Sharks.
Justin Olam still not making his debut for the side just yet.
He's been named.
Really, it says he round four is when he's expected
he's
to be back
from
the injury.
He's named in the centers.
Yeah, okay. No, so we'll see if he ends up in there. Because you've also got guys like on the bench as well, like Naden, that who's not supposed to be back till next week as well. So,
yeah.
We shall see against the high flying, easy draw Sharks, and first, now they've come up against the first difficult game of their draw for this year.
Real tough one for the Sharks.
Tough match. At Leichhardt, Tigers at Leichhardt. You know they're always like, I mean, they're always in a fucking game. But I mean, at Leichhardt, they're always in a fucking game at Leichhardt.
Yeah,
even more so. So Glennie, this is it. This is where the Tigers break through for their first win of the season, right?
Well, look, I think so.
Let's look at the tipping. Yeah, bookies heavily favouring the West Tigers.
Nope.
To lose this game.
Not even close. Aiden Caesar comes into the seven to replace Jaden Caesar. Fucking Bud Sullivan. Give me a fucking break.
Do you know Bud Sullivan?
Didn't like that signing
more
to begin with, and I like it even less now.
Yeah, Bud Sullivan was being paid like upwards of $100,000 a season more than Luke Brooks this year.
That's fucking outrageous.
Wow.
Yes. Well, they needed to get rid of the Luke Brooks contract.
Yeah, they sure did.
It didn't mean they stopped making terrible decisions.
Jaden Sullivan is a 14. Do you think he provides any utility value whatsoever?
No. Zero. Tough one for the Tigers. They're going to have to step up their toughness and resilience because the Sharks just have that baseline level of consistency, you know, composure and conservative yet effective play. Which is probably enough to beat the Tigers.
Over the backs. They're bigger and stronger and faster, and even in the forward pack, you guys really, you know, you've got an advantage in Appy, but let's be real, he doesn't really want to be there. He's there to take his check. And
please, consistently one of the best on the park for us. It's just your horrible agenda, and I don't know why you can't look at things objectively
like
I do.
Which is more a comment. It's more a comment of the rest of your side rather than how great Appy is.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that statement.
So, anyway, Sharks,
13
plus.
Don't be like, Lenny. I've tried to support.
Fucking.
I've tried to support you.
Try harder.
Well, if we do a member side, you know I'll be riding the cunts home for victory. Like always. More than you, might I add. Yeah, Sharks. Reasonably easily, but I would love to see the Tigers get the upset. The Eels take on the mighty Manly Seabs Eagles. This one's happening at CommBank Stadium. Do you know that Parramatta, they wanted to have CommBank Stadium exclusively for their members, right?
Yeah.
And because it's like the NRL, everyone's like, well, no, you can't fucking do that. They throw in a tantrum, and like the away bay is like double the price of the bays next to it. Really? It's like $60 for a ticket in the away bay, and they're like $30 either side. Although it is an expensive fucking field altogether. I mean, on the 20, if you're sitting on the 20-meter line, it's like $100.
Yeah, wow.
Like so not only do they hate the opposition fans and they try and tax them to get into the ground, yeah, but they also hate their own members.
Oh,
and you know, tax them hard as well. But
yeah, that's rough.
Fucking sooks. It's so Parramatta of them though. Like, you can imagine Gutho being in the fucking in the board when that decision's being made, and Mitch Moses is fucking flapping his arms. Why can't we have our fucking members in there? Anyway, the most important things in this game, are the Manly forwards. Paseka, this is his year where he's going to really fucking step up to the next level. Homoli unstoppable. But importantly, Morgan Harper's on the wing in this game for the Eels. I believe he's going to be outside of a debutant in Blaze Talangi. Their back line, apart from the obvious effort that Gutho puts in, you know, week in, week out, and you know, they're quality halves, but my God, their centres and wingers don't impress me. And Bowser comes into the Manly side, Ray Vega, for the first time this season. And look, there are absolute limitations on the talent of that gentleman and what he can do on a football field. But for one or two games here and there when he comes in because someone's injured, he runs hard without fear. He tackles like the fucking second coming of Matai.
Yep.
And he is gonna put those cunts in the fucking gutter and make them start. Like, there was a game where he jumped in against a Storm. And yeah, I think he was up against Marion Seve and Xavier Coates on his side of the field. In the first half of that game, the amount of passes they dropped that were coming to them just because they were thinking about fucking Ray coming to smash them,
yeah,
it was incredible.
So what are we saying? Manly 13 plus?
I think Manly get them into forwards. If they can stop the offloads, I don't think Parramatta have a fuckable lot of attack coming their way. And I think we can put plenty of points on. I mean, our attack is going to get better and better as the year goes on. There's still problems with, you know, cohesion and things like that with some of the new combinations. But even now, you know, this, you know, we're still scoring like, you know, sort of, you know, four tries a game and leaving three on the table kind of thing. So that's going to click. We're going to get plenty of points. Kelma Tuolungi, he's in the 17. Morgan Harper, I mean, this is like, these are the games when we get paid back.
Beautiful.
For carrying those players in our side. Now they get to let us through for tries instead of, you know, what they did when they were on, you know, in our jerseys. And another Nathan Brown revenge game as he continues what has been for the first couple of weeks of the competition, the Nathan Brown revenge tour against his former clubs. And so he's at the moment, he's undefeated in two games against forward clubs. This concludes the tour, the game against the Eels.
Please stop.
And I expect him to go out a winner.
Okay.
And
please stop.
Very nice.
Dally Cherry is the longest serving captain for the Mighty Manly Sea Eagles as well. Wonderful milestone. Certainly in the company of some absolute fucking geniuses.
Like Putin. Longest serving leader.
Like Jamie Lyon, like fucking Cliff Lyons, like fucking Bob Fulton, fucking absolute doyens of the fucking game. Manly 13 plus. The Knights take on the Storms in Newcastle. And wow, the Knights have got the best possible opportunity.
Yeah.
Having a halvesless Storms side.
Good week to drop your half back.
Yeah.
But
yeah. When the NRL dropped the Storms half back for him.
Yeah. Golden Balls comes in.
Yep. Yep. Son of Golden Nuts comes into the side. I think that Son of Golden Nuts would have worked really well with Hastings, to be honest.
Yeah.
If it were me, but I mean, you know, I'm not employed to make these decisions, you know, for the time being.
Well, geez, if only there was an AOB occasion. Is.
Toss
if only there was an occasion where he played a remarkable second fiddle to a dominant half in an important game, and he could have replicated it for the Newcastle Knights. If only they had one of those games in recent memory.
Tyson Gale was an energy guy. Yeah. You got to have an energy guy.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah. Look, that's the AOB's going to remember. AOB was like, you know, he was like, it was all out sack AOB all the way up to fucking Origin, even
till Jacko saved him.
Yeah, yeah, and then you know, the soft shell crab, you know, had a good end of the season as well.
Is he named this week?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Okay.
Yeah, we don't. He won the Dally M. We don't talk about his brain anymore.
Yeah, okay.
Listen,
this is a rough one.
It is.
And how sad is this for Newcastle? You take any other matchup this weekend and take the two starting halves out of the out of any team, and I think it becomes
representative halves, no less.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think it becomes a pretty easy pick, but yeah. still arming and ahhing here.
I'm still going to say the
Storms. So am I. Pappy and Grant, too much class.
I'm going to say Newcastle.
I would Newcastle, no credit. If you want this credit, you come take this fucking credit, bitch.
Let's go.
And like, honestly, I mean, am I even going to give up the credit if you beat a halvesless side? Probably not. But I still think the Storm's going to win.
Yes.
And
we did it.
That's it. We did it. Holy shit! We say quick show's a good show. This was not a quick show. This show was actually longer than last week. Yeah. Can believe that. My God. Sorry, Glennie.
Don't apologise to me. Just enjoy the pleasure of your company. That's how fucking tired I am.
Right. Yeah, you're nice. Start to speak that delirious shit. Interesting, this week in the Manly Parramatta game, they got a player, what's his name? Something Moretti. I think he's maybe debuting for them.
Yeah.
And he's the son of whoever Mr. Moretti is from Moretti Constructions Proprietary Limited, which is the team list sponsor for Luke Brooks. On the Manly team list.
There you go.
So it's all coming together for another fucking Brooksy big game. He's going to take that check from Mr. Moretti.
He's going to get adopted.
If I can say, listen, I'm your daddy now, cunt. Right, that's it.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Let's go.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.